are about to listen to.
I don't know. It's like my brain just keeps jacking up.
Games and More Entertainment Radio.
All right, this is episode 15 of Games and More Entertainment Radio. This is C4.
I'm Bob Nito.
Bob Nito on the phone, and we are talking about Mac games today in just a little bit here. We're going to go through some housekeeping stuff first, take care of emails, and some other things I wanted to mention first. But be prepared to hear the other side of the story, that little section of the store that nobody goes to. You know, I go in there, and I see all the, you know, the GameCube games and the Xbox games, the PlayStation games, the PC games, and I look at movies, and there's that whole Mac section I never even go into. I know I'm missing out, and I'm glad you're here to tell us about it, because I bet a lot of people are missing out, you know, and we never get into that little section, so. All right, let me start off with the emails, too. I've got an email here from, this is a good one, too, from Modem Tuh. I got the Two Towers DVD from Wolf, that Chinese pirate one, right? And he made a copy of it. He's got the burner that he's got is a Sony. It's the DRU500, like UX or AX, whatever one's the internal one. And it burns the slash R and the plus R DVDs. And he was asking me, you know, he goes, you know, which one was I talking about? And he hasn't checked into it yet and seen what they'll do and stuff. And I was pretty surprised that it actually ran in my PlayStation 2. It did work. So I messed around with it some more just to check it out so I could talk about it. And it's a verbatim disc. It's the 4.7 gig verbatim disc. The movie was only 4.23 gigabytes, and there's no encryption on it at all. And I just checked it out like a little bit ago just to make sure it played, and it plays on my Xbox and the PlayStation 2.
Really? So. It must be because it's a Sony Plus RW or Plus R.
It must be, I guess. I don't know if anybody has different luck with different burners or if it's just that there's no encryption on it or maybe it's just the discs. Because have you ever put a, I don't know if you can do that in GameCube, huh? It won't fit. Like a video CD. If I have a copy of a video CD, it knows. Like the PlayStation and the Xbox both tell me this will not work, you know, put it in a real disc.
I think it's the coding on the disc also, because I noticed that some CDs work in my DVD player, some CDRs don't. And it depends on what coding it is. If it's silver, it works fine, but blue and purple don't on mine.
Really?
Yeah, and I've noticed also, like, Apple, the minus RWs and the minus R discs are a different coding than the plus discs, because plus were designed with Sony and HP, and Pioneer and Apple got together and created the minus R format. So that's why all the Apples have minus R's.
Oh, I see. Okay, the slash R. I know a bunch of
yeah.
The DVD, the slash R guys, the fanatics will jump on you for saying minus R.
Whatever. They can come and get me if they want.
All right. So anyway, I thought that's pretty cool. Hopefully that's some good information there, you know, just to know in case you're out trying to copy movies and whatnot. And another thing is he was talking about in this email here, because he says that he had to update his memory card also. It took up 1.5 megs, whatever it was, that he had to install to play the DVDs with the remote control thing, and I didn't have to do that. I remember talking about that last show, and I think it's like my guess is anyway, it's like a software update, like maybe a patch to the firmware of the DVD player in the PlayStation 2, because mine is kind of like a newer model PlayStation 2. It's like a version 7, right? I think the version 8s are just out now. And it's got the firmware on it. It says 2.12U. And I noticed the CD that came with my remote control said it updates to 2.12U. And I thought, well, I don't need this crap then. And apparently Modem Tuh and Wolf here both had to update something. I imagine it's just a patch. I don't know if that helps anybody or anything, but it's interesting to hear about because I wasn't aware that you even had to do this, you know. And let's see. One other thing that he mentioned in this email is RetroGamingRadio.com, and these guys do a show once a month, I guess. I haven't actually had a chance to check it out myself, but it sounds really cool. And Modem Tuh says in his email here that he's going to do an interview with a developer who wants to remain anonymous, and he's going to talk about how bad the game industry is since the publishers have taken over.
I think it's like, I've heard horror stories from people out in Vancouver that have been working for EA Sports and shit, and they're just overworked and underpaid, and it's just like, you know, sweatshop conditions. So I can totally relate to that too. Just I know where they're coming from.
That's going to be an awesome show. I can't wait to hear that one. Seriously. I mean, you know, if this guy's going to remain anonymous, he's probably going to tell us a lot of things that they don't want us to hear, you know? I really can't wait to hear that episode, though. That sounds like it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out either, but now that you mention it, I think I'm going to do that tomorrow. See what they have to say about stuff, because old games, I love old games, man. Commodore 64 days and all that stuff, great.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I liked doing that old school show with Stank Dog so much. That was awesome. I just couldn't get enough, you know, hearing about the old games and then getting to talk about them and stuff. And I guess this whole show is dedicated to, you know, old games and stuff like that. And they talk about, in fact, I got a second email about those guys too, and I've never heard of them before. And then all of a sudden this week, I get two emails about RetroGamingRadio.com. The other one I got was from BeamRider, and, you know, he says that, you know, he enjoyed the old school gaming special with Stank Dog. And check out Retro Gaming Radio. They do a monthly show about classic gaming, including emulation, game reviews, technology, interviews, and interviews with original game developers. So that's kind of cool. You know, I'm going to have to check those out to hear what real radio sounds like, right?
Yes.
But you know what? He posted about us on their forum, and some of the guys went and listened to it, and some of them, you know, thought it was okay. Some of them, well, one guy in particular was there. He couldn't stand it. But, you know, to each their own, I can understand that. You know, that's cool. We sure got a lot of hits out of that, though, I'll tell you what. That was kind of a good crowd, you know, like a crowd that already listens to radio and stuff like this, you know, and about games.
Yeah, any word of mouth is good word of mouth, man.
Yeah, good or bad. Yeah, I mean, I got a ton of people. I couldn't believe it. That was pretty awesome. You know, I hope some of them stuck around, too, because not every show is the same. You know, we've always got something cool to talk about. Like I started on this radio stuff, you know, I listened to it at work to blow some time, and I'm sure, you know, everybody's out there looking for more shows to waste time with, right?
Definitely. I know I am.
For sure. Good stuff. I got another email here, too, from Vert, and this is about Game State magazine I mentioned last show. I didn't know where I got it from or anything. It just started coming to me in the mail all of a sudden, and apparently we had the hookup right here. I mean, he emailed me right away. He says, Game State is a free magazine. It's funded by Criterion Studios. They're split into two parts, like Criterion Games, who made Burnout, Airblade, Trickstyle. And the second part is Renderware, which is a middleware program used in the games industry to speed game development time. If you look inside the front cover, you'll see a big advertisement for Renderware. So Game State is a mix of Game Industry Mag and Renderware promotion, which is really cool. And I went to their website, which is gamestate.net, and you can sign up for a free subscription to it.
Oh.
So, yeah, and apparently he knew all this because he's kind of an insider. I don't think he wants me to say, but he's, like, in with this stuff. And it was just, like, pure chance I happened to mention the magazine, and just after hearing from him last week too, which is really cool. So it's good to know what's up with that. I have no idea, but it really is a cool magazine, especially for free. You know, it had some really good articles in it and stuff.
Pages is it?
It was actually kind of thin. It was probably like maybe 30, 40 pages, maybe.
I guess you can't expect too much though for a free publication. You know, like it's anything's good.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, I get my hands on anything I can to read about, you know, the games industry and the games themselves, so I was, you know, totally down for it. You know, I was stoked. It's a good magazine. I suggest, you know, I mean, I don't know if you're supposed to work in the games industry or what to get it or not. You know, I'm not so sure, but go check it out anyway. I'm sure they don't care.
Well, it's like the film industry and other industries, the music industry. People buy Billboard magazine. They don't necessarily work for a radio station or anything like that, you know, so I think it's just people are interested in freedom of speech and getting to find out about what's out there going on.
All the hardcore fanatics, right?
We
try to get the inside scoop, you know? That's kind of how I look at it, too. You know, that's why I have, like, Game Developer Magazine and stuff like that. It's like, I have no idea what they're talking about, like, half the time. But you know what? It's really interesting to read their thoughts on, like, level design and how much goes into, like, audio production and stuff like that.
Yeah. Or who's using what engine for what game and all that sort of stuff gives you some insight. Over time, you're going to pick up all that shit anyways.
Yeah, that's true, too. I find that, you know, the longer I've had it, the more I like, can understand most of what they're talking about. You know, it's really cool. But that's another one that I think you can get a free subscription to, too, because I'm pretty sure that I didn't pay for that. I don't really remember, but it's been a while. But I think you can get a free – it's probably, I think, gamedev.net or something probably. It's Game Developer Magazine. My last thing I wanted to get to here before we start all this Mac goodness, I've got an interesting thing here that happened to a friend of mine, and I'm sure it's happened to a lot of us. This happens to be Electronics Boutique, and I think for the three of us too. My buddy Nyer was telling me that he went down to Electronics Boutique the other day. This is in Ohio at the Sandusky Mall, and he went in there to go buy that race car, Auto Modalista.
Yeah, what whatever the hell.
You know that
I know
one.
What you're talking about.
Yeah.
Cel-shaded racing game.
Yeah, exactly. He went in there and somehow started talking with one of the employees, and the employees started, I guess they started talking about Grand Theft Auto, because I know my buddy Nyer here is really into Vice City right now. So I imagine somehow the conversation came around to Grand Theft Auto, and the employees started ripping on not only his choice of games, but, you know, all types of these games. Like, the guy is a hardcore RPG fanatic. He says that, he goes, the guy flat out says all Grand Theft Autos are horrible games. They're no-brainer games. It takes no brains to just run around and shoot people, and the missions are retarded. So my friend starts arguing with him, I guess. And the employee says, you just put in the cheat codes, and then you get the all the guns, and then the game gets real old real quick.
Well, that's true with any game. You put in all the cheat codes in the game, you don't play it anymore. Well, I know I don't. After I put in a cheat code. But, like, what about Doom and all these other shooter games that have no real storyline? You know, like, that's... I don't know. Some people just get too worked up about that stuff.
I couldn't believe it when he was telling me this, though, because it's ridiculous. It's, you know, why? First of all, he walks in there to just go buy a game, go about his day, you know, take off and go home and enjoy his game. You know, then he gets into an argument with some jackass that works at Electronics Boutique who thinks he's the end-all, be-all of, you know, what every game anybody should play and that he's, you know, so wise. Starts arguing with him about what kind of games he should play. And this guy's an idiot. You know, then he says, oh, you just use the cheat code. So, you know, my friend Nyer here starts telling him, you know, well, you're going to put cheat codes in a game, you know, what are you, stupid? You know, of course they're going to get old like that. You don't... I got pretty pissed off about it because the same thing has happened to me before, though. I have gone into an Electronics Boutique to pick up a game for whatever system, for, you know, PC and Xbox or whatever, and the employees will start telling me, oh, you don't want that game. You want to check this game out. Oh, I hear so many better things about this one. And you know what? Seems to generally be the more expensive game they're trying to push on me, too.
Maybe they're working on commission. It's the same up here, and like where I am, it's totally the same. And I'm in a different country, so the guys think that they're like all that and a bag of chips, as the saying is, and it's not true because you guys, you're not game programmers. You're working for basically minimum wage, peddling games. Come on, there's no way that you are the be all end all of the gaming industry.
I sure like to think they are, though. Now, you had a story for me, too. I cut you off before because, you know, we wanted to record it. So what were you going to tell me about the Cube?
Oh, well, I went into an Electronics Boutique up here, and I was buying a GameCube, and I pre-ordered it, and the guy was telling me what games I should be picking, and I'm like, no, no, I know what kind of games I like, and I know what I want, and I don't want one of those purple GameCubes. I want a black one. I don't want some little kitty box. I want it to look semi-professional so I can put it in my office or at home, and people won't laugh at me because I got a GameCube necessarily, and it's like purple or orange or whatever. You know, and the guy, he's like, well, since you're spending all this money, why don't you buy an Xbox? Because if I wanted another computer, I'd buy another computer. And this is before people started hacking Xbox, before it was even released. So, yeah, sure, maybe I would have got more bang for my buck if I bought an Xbox, but I don't like Bill Gates. And I'm not going down that road if I don't have to. If I can find an Xbox for like $2 from someone, I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah, you realize you left yourself wide open for Mac jokes with the multicolored GameCube thing, right? I had a great iMac joke lined up, but...
I don't have an iMac. I went higher end than that, so you can't burn me. iMac is for, you know, different kind of user, and what I have to do with my computer requires more power, and so I have a Power Mac, so... I'm on a different level now.
I'm just trying to be an ass.
That's all right. It's not like I have one of those iMac tangerine ones or something, but I do have friends that have those, and they can't do diddly with them, so.
That's exactly what popped in my head when you were talking about the multicolored GameCubes.
Exactly. It's such a gimmick. I'm sorry. I just want a machine that can do what I need it to do, and it doesn't have to look all that fancy. That's why I went with a black GameCube, because, you know, purple doesn't make the game better. Black just goes with my decor, and if anything, it just looks classier overall.
Yeah.
So. And it's a nice box. Like, they've crammed a lot of good hardware into that small case, you know?
Yeah, they did. You know, and tell you what, I really want a GameCube. I mean, seriously, we've got Zelda and Mario and Metroid and the
Metroid
Mario
Prime
Kart.
Man is the shit. It is awesome. Just the reflections on Samus' face when you have explosions and steam and like, I'm sorry, but the Xbox, some of the lighting effects just look kind of cheesy. Yes, I know Splinter Cell is awesome, but you know, they're porting it over to the GameCube now, and the graphic cards aren't that different.
Actually, you want to go ahead and we can talk about GameCube games for a while, because I know we don't get enough coverage of GameCube games on this show, because nobody that's usually on has one, so I'd love to talk about, you know, some console games before we dive into the whole Mac thing, if you want.
Yeah, that's cool. The only crappy thing is that I haven't bought a GameCube game in a while, and that's just because I've been buying other stuff, and money's been very tight, so I guess I'm not being the best GameCube enthusiast, but I love the system. I've got like 15 games, and I play all sorts of games. I really want to get Zelda. I really, really do, but I just haven't gone out and purchased it yet. And it looks great. I've tried it out. It's just awesome. But I have Medal of Honor, Frontline, and Metroid Prime. Jeez, I've got lots of just wide range of games. I'm just waiting for a really good real-time strategy game. But they're hard to play on GameCube and 64 and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. They are. I remember trying to play StarCraft on a Nintendo 64, and it just does not work.
No kidding. The only one real-time strategy game that I actually found was pretty good for a console was Command & Conquer for my N64. Command & Conquer was pretty good for a console game. Like, I played the shit out of it. I just went on for, hours and hours, weekends, just playing it and just annihilating everyone I could. And the cursor was pretty responsive, and the system didn't even bog down too much until you got into, ridiculously hoarding your troops and sending them all in at once.
Yeah.
But, of course, that's going to happen on any system when you get, 800 friggin' tanks going in.
Yeah, that even, it even happens on our high-end PCs when you're trying to play, Warcraft 3, I've noticed, that it just lags to shit when you get too many guys on the screen, even though they did a really good job about it, I have to have, multiple armies, multiple players, full armies on the screen to start lagging the machine.
Yeah.
But, it still happens. I don't know if I could play an RTS, though, on a console with the controller. I mean, I could totally see it if they hooked up, a keyboard and a mouse, like my Dreamcast.
Yeah.
But they don't, I don't know. It just, I haven't seen one, they don't have one for the Xbox that I've seen yet, and I imagine you can use a USB keyboard on the PlayStation 2. I don't know how it would work, because the game wouldn't support it, so you'd be kind of screwed, I'm sure.
Yeah, unless there's a firmware or patch or something like that. There's got to be someone developing stuff like this, because there's so much potential on these machines. I remember N64, I had all these expansion packs or slots and stuff, and I never used anything. I didn't tack on some other hardware.
Nintendo's been pretty good about that, always providing extra little ports for this and that and stuff that's just little either gimmicky or that doesn't make it very far.
Yeah, and you never really hear about it. It's just gets pushed aside, and next thing you know, they got a new machine out, so.
Yeah, which is too bad, because I would really like to take advantage of some of the cool stuff that, you should be able to do with these things, and, they tell you when you're buying the system, they sell you on all the stuff it can do in the future, too. Oh, well, we've got expansion ports for this, and, the ability to do that later on and stuff, and they end up never doing it a good lot of the time.
Well, yeah, especially with the GameCube, there's the broadband or the modem adapter, right? And what's the only game you can play on it?
Can you even play? I don't know.
It's Phantasy Star Online.
Oh.
That's the only game you can play online right now.
That's weird.
So you can't even network two of them together and play it, which is unless you have each have a modem or broadband and I don't know. I really really wish Nintendo would give Xbox a run for its money and just start pushing online games. But I bet you they're going to wait until they can support high speed. And stable servers and shit like that.
I really wish that they would, too. I really wish they would... tell you the truth, I wish they'd both give Sony a run for their money in the games department. But I don't see that happening. It seems like, they're scrapping it out, fighting for table scraps right now between Xbox and GameCube. It just doesn't... they're not doing so good. And I think you were telling me, too, that almost everybody you knew up there has a PlayStation 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've only seen one person with an Xbox. Everyone else has PlayStation 2. It's all PlayStation 2. It's just because you can play all the old games, you can play the new games, there's more peripherals. It's sure, the graphics aren't that good, but no one really seems to care about that, and I've always cared about graphics. That's why I went with the GameCube. And the Xbox just is too large and clunky, the controller, the machine itself, and you know, but it turned out to be a great little you know, tinker machine. Soup it up any way you want to. That'd be kind of cool.
Certainly. I don't know if you've checked out any of the Xbox hacking websites. I mean, those guys are throwing in 200 gigabyte hard drives, dumping the DVD games onto the hard drive. They've got special BIOSes and the dashboard things for, you know, where you can load your game right off of there and put all your little patches in, and you can do, like, I mean, you can make totally new games out of some of this stuff. It's just wild what they did with it. And they've got the guys that put them into clear cases, you know, and then neon lights and stuff like that. It's just not for me. I just don't get too much into that stuff. It'd be nice to have a mod chip for it, but I don't think I see that happening in the future either, after hearing about somebody's horror story with a PlayStation 2.
Well, you have to, and apparently now, because of Xbox Live, and they're checking for people with mod chips, that people are creating them with a little toggle switch so you can turn off the mod or turn it back on when you go on Xbox Live.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I've never seen it in practice, and I've never...
I saw it on Tech TV, on the screensavers. They had a whole week where they devoted the whole week to segments about hacking the Xbox. And it was awesome. The stuff that they were talking about and what software programs, they basically walked you right through it all. And I don't know how they got away with it, but it was cool.
Wow, that is awesome. That is really cool. I've never heard about that. I don't watch TV, so I don't catch stuff like that.
But... Oh, well, the best thing is go to thescreensavers.com. They have it all in the background there, man. You can go back to all their archives. Sometimes they have some video and stuff, but they write all that stuff down, and you just get all the links to where you want to check it out, and it's awesome.
Oh, wow. That is, yeah, definitely going to
check it out. Yeah, screensavers.com.
That is too cool. Yeah, I'm definitely going to go check that out. That sounds pretty interesting. And I decided there's no way that I can part with my PlayStation 2 and my Xbox.
Oh, no. Don't.
I thought I was going to end up selling them before the trip, you know, to scrape some money together to do this, but it's just like, first of all, it's not like I'm going for a year. I'm just going to take me, like, maybe 2 months. When I get back, what the hell am I going to do with myself, right?
You'll have to accumulate all that stuff again, you know?
Exactly. So I've been spending the last couple days here just going through all my stuff, trying to narrow it down to what, you know, I absolutely want, and get the rest of this crap out of here, but I couldn't bring myself to get rid of the PlayStation and the Xbox, and then I know when I'm back, I know the first thing that's going to happen is I'm going to buy a damn GameCube, because I'm itching to play all those games, and especially Zelda.
Not to, like, you know, make you all nuts or anything, but they have that portable LCD that you can strap on to the GameCube, and it comes with a battery supply, and then there you go, portable game machine, man.
Well, I thought about that, and I ended up picking up a Game Boy Advance, though, just because I thought, well, you know, I'm going to want to travel lighter, so...
Did you get the SP or just the Game Boy Advance?
The SP, because I had a Game Boy Advance before, and I sold it just before the release of the SP.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great, though. Like, I know a lot of people that are just snatching it up, and they're like 35 and stuff, just because they're traveling a lot, and it's so compact, and you can play all the old games, so they're asking for my Tetris cartridge, and I'm like, no way. I need that, man.
Yeah.
I know... Don't give me a hard time. I'm keeping it.
Definitely. Tetris is a classic game right there. In fact, it was way high on the list, I think, you know, last week when we were talking about, like, the best games of all time, the best-selling game of all time. But another thing about it is it also doesn't look like a Game Boy. It looks like a little neat piece of technology, doesn't it? It's like the Platinum one?
Kind of like a weird cell phone-ish PDA.
Yeah, it does, huh? But I think it appeals to it, like, an older market because of that. Like you were saying about the black GameCube versus the purple and whatever other colors they have, you know. It's like, I remember our buddy Ode, he went to go look for a Game Boy Advance SP. He refused to buy the cobalt blue one, and he went everywhere and could not get a platinum one. They snatched him up, and there was cobalt ones all over the place.
Oh, yeah, it's same up here. Everyone's only buying the silver ones.
Wow.
That's the only one I've ever seen. It's the same with the, like, GameCube. The black ones were the first ones to sell out. The purple ones were leftovers. And then you got Luigi's Mansion when it was first announced, and they gave me a baseball hat. And I'm like, I don't want Luigi's Mansion. Like, I like, the graphics are great, but it's just too aimed at a kid. It's just way too kiddie for me. So I never even played Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube.
Huh.
No word of a lie. I still have the game, and I've only played it for maybe 10 minutes. And I don't know why I haven't tried to sell it, probably because I'd only get $2.
Yeah, probably. I imagine a lot of people that already have it, you know, are kept it, and nobody else wants it probably anyway.
Yeah.
But, I'm looking forward to Mario Kart a lot, but there's, but you know, we were talking about the network capabilities of the GameCube, and I thought I remember hearing that they're not going to have it set up so it plays online, and that I think is a huge mistake on Nintendo's part.
Yeah, the only thing that Nintendo's done properly, the first with like even Super Nintendo's, they had multiplayer on the machine. What they should have done is they should have taken it up a notch and had it so that you can network these machines together so you have massive multiplayer. You know, Super Mario Kart would have been way better if you could have had 8 friends playing it, or 16, you know?
Most definitely. I mean, because as it is, 4 players, and that's probably, I remember when I had the Super Nintendo one, and I had the 64 one, and I swear to God, between those two games, there probably was no game that got more play on either of those two systems, other than maybe GoldenEye on the 64.
Oh, God, yeah.
I played the shit out of both of those games, and I loved them, and there was nothing like it, and the only problem was, is that a lot of the time, there was, you know, more than 4 people over, you know, whoever's house that we were playing Mario Kart at, and you had to sit down and wait your turn. But, I mean, I could imagine a room full of people, you know, blowing each other up and racing around.
Oh, yeah. Back in the heyday of GoldenEye, when it first came out, I took it to school, and we had it on a 32-inch television, and we had it set up with wicked sound, and there was 15 of us fighting for it, and it was my machine, and I probably only got to play it twice, and I was just so pissed. I was like, man, this is my machine. We have 4 controllers. I want more turns. Yes, I could play it at home, but that's not as much fun as playing it with, like, 3 other people and totally fragging them.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's what this is all about, too, is it's, you know, you're supposed to be having a good time, and they know what we want. We want more multiplayer. And, you know, we're seeing 4-player games, and then anything more, we get sports games.
Yeah.
And, well, we all know how I feel about sports games.
I'm not even a sports fan. I couldn't tell anyone what the local sports teams are, or any of the players. I don't.
Me neither.
Last time I went to a sporting event was when I was a little kid, and I was forced to go see Wayne Gretzky play. I was like, oh, yeah, great.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you guys, hockey's a big thing up there. So
actually, it was. Now it's kind of, women have totally embraced hockey now, and guys are totally out of it now. They've moved on to soccer. And girls are always talking about hockey games. It's weird. It's so weird, man. Puck bunnies all over the place.
That is very, very strange. Huh. I don't get out a whole lot, so I don't know the current state of, you know, who's into what around here, but why don't we go ahead and jump into the Mac stuff now? We're looking at 28 minutes already.
Yeah, okay. Well, basic things that a lot of you PC users and Linux lovers...
You can just go ahead and call us the voice of reason.
The voice of reason. How about the not fully educated yet?
That's probably more accurate.
The biggest thing is, yes, I've used all the other operating systems, and I've used, I started off on a Commodore 64. So I've started out at the beginning, but just a Macintosh, especially now, is just way more user-friendly and compatible than it's ever been. Like, I can take any file format, because it's, you're using the FreeBSD operating system, like, as the kernel. It's just, I don't know, I really don't know why people would go with XP with all the problems and the software updates that you have to do for security patching and stuff like that. Like, it's no word of a lie, it seems like every week they're putting out another software patch. Is that true? Would you say, C4?
I'll tell you what, when I went over to Hunter's house yesterday, and I had to look at an XP machine he had over there that had 0 patches applied to it, right? Like, this machine was a fresh install of XP and was having some kind of a problem. It was a hardware problem, we suspect, so I can't blame XP for that. When I hit that list, you know, to go to Windows Update, there was like 55 updates or something, and... Yeah, it was unreal, and the machine ended up hanging because it was just too much for it. Explorer just bailed because it sits there. Like, the way it works, you mark off what updates you want, you tell it to go ahead and check it out, and then, like, and it just dies. I mean, it sat there for like a half an hour just crunching away. The hard drives were spinning, the CPU was maxed out, and it eventually just gave up finally. It couldn't handle it. I ended up having to download the service pack separately, install that first, and then go grab like the 20 or so other patches still after that.
Annually, yeah. See, I just chalk it up to Microsoft getting too many programmers and too big too quickly, and they just don't know what each department's doing when they're designing stuff. And I think that's ultimately going to be Microsoft's downfall, is that they just have way too many departments that don't know what the hell's going on with this department's development, and then they put out something that's rushed and it conflicts with something else. And whereas with the beauty about the Apple is that they design the hardware, they're designing the software, and they're making it open source now that other people can get into their machine. Limited, yes, but at least they can put on other programs, and you know, you can use something besides Explorer. You can use Mozilla, you can use, you know, Safari, which is Apple's version, and all that sort of stuff. And honestly, man, like, I don't know, just compatibility, it's great. iTunes now, you can stream my playlist, my MP3, all my playlists over the internet to someone else, and they just double click and they can be listening to any of one of my tracks.
Wow.
Like, for nothing. And it's 128K MP3 streamed over the internet.
Wow.
It sounds great.
Cool.
I've done it with like 8 different guys. I have all their playlists, they have mine, and we just go through and check out each other's tunes and say, man, that's awesome. And then you could do your file sharing if you want, or whatever may be legal or not legal. And
yeah, the RIA really loves that, I bet.
Yeah, well, no word of a lie, it's just happened that iTunes file sharing, there's a patch to the iTunes version 4 now to 401, and it takes care of that possibility. Now you can't share over the internet. You can only do local hubs. So it takes care of the IRA, or not the IRA, Freudian slip, I don't know. Yeah, it just takes care of all their problems and, you know, piracy, this and all that
yeah.
sort of stuff. There was a little program that you could run that would just take the metafile information and rip it from any streamed playlist. So theoretically, you could get the MP3 from that person and get around the Apple stuff. There's
yeah.
ways around everything. Anyways.
Yeah, very true. Now let me ask you something. Then this is the demystifying section here. You know, people
yeah.
they don't know. You know, people. I mean, a lot of people, myself included, we don't see the other side of it. You know, I use Windows XP and I use Linux machines. So I use Slackware Linux for everything else. Okay,
yeah.
And nowhere, no way have I even ever considered, buying a Mac for anything. At all, and I can't tell you why. I just am like, no, I don't want it. It doesn't work with half my shit, or whatever bullshit excuse I have.
Yeah.
One of the things that I keep coming across is I keep hearing, oh, well, it's not quite as fast as, I mean, what are you going to do? Take your Macintosh versus, you know, the latest 3 gigahertz Pentium 4?
That doesn't apply because the way they use most of the testing isn't really accurate. So I wouldn't go by anyone's numbers, not even Apple's. When it comes to a machine, you basically just got to use the program and see what does faster, what you need. Most of the times, like Photoshop and After Effects are faster on my machine than they would be on an equivalent PC, like top-of-the-line PC stuff. And just to tell you how close the machines are coming now, Motorola used to make Apple's processors. Now they're talking about IBM making Macintosh processors.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be out in the new system they're apparently going to release in June with IBM processors. And the RAM that they use is, my top-of-the-line system right now is a DDR RAM with its 2700.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same pin configuration and everything as a PC box. So I can go buy PC RAM, slap it in here, and it's going to work. And I can buy any IDE drive and slap it into my computer. Right now I have 4 120 gig hard drives in my computer, all running off the native like card that they supply. So I don't have to go out and buy any ATA card or anything like that, an extra power supply, or even swap out the power supply and put another one in. And I have 2 optical bays.
There's another thing that I was thinking about too. I mean, because I noticed that if you get like FireWire on a PC, you're either lucky or you've got like a top of the line, like brand new sound card, you know, something where it happens to have like FireWire on it.
Yeah, exactly. And FireWire is better than USB. USB 2 is better than FireWire version 1, but FireWire 2 is out now also, and that's like 800 megabits per second transfer speeds, which is just amazing. Like, but there's very little hardware that ever maxes that out, you know. I have, right now, I have FireWire RAIDs. In total, I have 2,000 gigabytes of hard drive space hooked up to one computer, all through FireWire. And I have no dropouts or lag, and I get enough throughput to put out DV footage to tape without dropping any frames.
Damn.
And I don't want to say too much about what I do, but, like, my computer is maxed out right now, and it's already a year old, the version I have, but there's so much more growth available. Like, I can upgrade the processors, third-party companies release an upgrade, no problem. It's like, you know, $900. You get, like, whatever the equivalent speed is of the day for the other systems. You can slap in another hard drive, no problem. Like I said, you can put in another optical drive. Just go to, like, your local store, like Circuit City, I think is what you guys have, and you just walk in there and buy any PC stuff that's going to be compatible, and the odds are there's more stuff compatible than not compatible with the Mac system, and they just release better patches. Like, I've only had to update my operating system maybe once a month, and that's when they do this security patch, because it's a Unix core. You know, there's always going to be Unix vulnerabilities, and they just fix it up for you. I don't know. I just love my Mac. I have 4 operating systems running on it right now. XP, 98. I could put Linux on it, but I haven't. I have OS 9, which is their old operating system, and then I have their new operating system, Jaguar. So, and they can all be running at the same time. Mind you, it's going to be a little bit slower when they're all doing different processes, but it's like, I don't know. I like having the option to drag and drop from Windows XP to my Macintosh desktop, and it's seamless.
Yeah, that's definitely
any file format, boom, just on the one monitor, and I have a 23-inch flat screen. So it's like, it's basically like I have 2 computers right in one.
Certainly. Okay, now what about like gaming stuff, though? Like, when I go down to, well, we have around here, we have like Circuit City and Best Buy and CompUSA and stuff like that. And when you go there, and, you know, you're going in there because, you know, you hear, oh, the new GeForce cards are out, or the new ATI boards are out.
Yeah. Gaming's slower with the Mac. Like, we just got the 9700 ATI card.
Oh, okay.
So, that just came out about a month ago. They're still on the GeForce 4 with 128 megs. So they're not even up to the PC standard for video cards, and games are the same problem. Like, right now, Spearhead just came out. I've been playing Warcraft 3 for quite some time, and Freedom Force, I'm just trying to get into that, because I'm kind of a comic head, too, but...
Now, I've heard a lot of good things about that game on the PC. I know that Hunter ran out and bought it the day it came out, and he didn't play it a whole lot, but, like, what he did play it, I don't know why he stopped playing, but it was fantastic, and I keep hearing good things about it. So, and you know, you said you're playing Warcraft 3 on a Mac, too. That is, that's awesome, because that's one of the best games out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the beauty is that, well, it used to be, Oni came out for the Mac, I think slightly first, over top of the PC. I'm not totally sure on that one, but Bungie was developing games more for Macs than they were for PC, and then porting them over pretty quickly. And then Microsoft bought Bungie, and Halo, which was supposed to come out for Mac exclusively, got pushed back for the Xbox, and this was like 2 years or a year and a half before Xbox was even announced, that everyone in the Mac community was looking at screenshots of Halo going, oh my god, that looks so wicked. And then you never hear about it because Microsoft buys the company out, and they're like waiting and waiting, and then all of a sudden, it's only on Xbox, and you're like, damn you guys.
Yeah, the Mac community definitely got screwed there, too. I was sure that I remember hearing that it was coming out after it was released for the Mac, that it was coming out for the PC also, right? I don't know.
It probably is going to come out soon enough. Like, they're announcing that it is scheduled to come out on the Mac, so I don't know about the PC stuff because, like I said, I just get into the Mac stuff more. But another game that, well, I don't know if it's really a game. It's a massively explorer sort of thing called There. And if you go to there.com, it's or www.there.com, it's a massively multiplayer world immersive thing where you can talk to people and all this sort of stuff. I saw it first on the screensavers. They were talking about it. But it, there again, it's not out. That wasn't a pun. I didn't mean to do that. But it's not out for the Macintosh, and they're not saying it's not going to be out. It's not going to come out until maybe 2004. So we have to wait yet again for a good game or a good massively multiplayer system. And what really gets me is Macs always look better with graphics, websites. More website designers are getting into using Windows boxes now, but it was almost always people were using Photoshop on a Mac. They're doing this on a Mac because it looks crisper, sharper, and they can do it faster. And I don't know, it kind of depresses me, but, you know, whatever. Spy Hunter's coming out. It's you can pre-order it now on Mac. What's really cool, I think, is that, yeah, the Mac has FireWire, but we also have USB, and you can connect, like, any peripheral you want. Like, I have what's called a Shuttle Pro by Contour Design, and it's basically it's used for video editing and stuff like that, but it's totally customizable for any program you want, and it's got 9 buttons at the top, and it has 4 buttons underneath, and it has a little jog shuttle wheel in the middle. So I use that when I'm playing, like, Medal of Honor, just going through, and you have all your different guns programmed in the little buttons. You can crouch with another button, you know, and it's awesome. And then I have a 5-button mouse. That's another misconception, is people think, you know, Mac, ooh, one of those dinky little mice that only has one button, and the whole thing is one button, and you can't do control click or whatever, or right click anything.
You're right. I hear a lot of that. I do. I hear complaints about that, too. A lot of people around here, they make jokes about it, and they don't know anything about it.
It's not a valid concern, man. You go out, you buy, like, for $10, you buy any 5-button mouse, 4-button mouse, whatever, with a scroll wheel, doesn't matter. You slap that into a USB port on the Mac, and if it's Microsoft, you have to download their little software driver. If it's some of the other companies, man, it's already in the operating system, and you're up and running, man, right-clicking and scrolling all over the place, and programming the buttons to do other stuff for other games if you want. So I don't know why people get so worked up over this stuff if they don't actually just mess around with a Mac. If you mess around with it a bit, you probably fall in love with it a bit more.
Probably would. I know that we were talking about FireWire on the Apples there, and you just say, oh, I just plug it in. Now, I've got an Audigy card here. You know, it's a Creative Labs sound card, right? And it's got FireWire, and I swear to God, to save my life, I cannot make that thing communicate with any piece of hardware.
Oh, and you know what? It's probably software-based or something, and that's why it just makes more sense to buy a box where you don't have to futz around with it unless you want to. Like, you can ping people, you can do all sorts of that stuff on the Mac if you want to and get into hacking people, but really, the most common users just want to be able to plug in any digital camera or anything and just have it work. And as soon as I plug in a memory stick in one of my USB ports, my photo program automatically launches and downloads all the images, and then it will shut down and let me eject the thing, like, instantly. You know, that sort of stuff, I don't see that happening with Microsoft systems anytime soon, man, because, like I said, they just have too many people working there, and they don't talk to each other. So some of their hardware works, some doesn't. I don't know. They just got to be more compatible.
Seems like it almost sounds like that Windows is trying to get to more of a Macintosh feel with their machines, you know, with their operating system.
And I don't want to go back into the days where, you know, you state that Bill Gates was a big fan of the Apple way back before he started programming for and creating Windows. And then he saw what Steve Jobs and them did, and blah blah blah. It's all been said before, but basically, you know, you look at so many things that supposedly originated on Windows, and they were there in the Mac a year or so before that people were using, but there's just less buzz about it, less people out there using it, you know. So I don't know. You just have to be an informed consumer. But I'd like to go right into my latest purchase. Yes, I said I have a 23-inch flat-screen display, and that is a really cool toy, but I bought an iPod, and I bought the 30-gig version, which is just great. If you're into hacking or whatever stuff, I remember seeing something on RFA talking about the iPod and what you can do with it. Messages written in the text screens and all that stuff, but it has games on it too. Like the iPod, the newest version has three games on it, and they're not like, I don't know, they kind of go back to the old school games, which I'm sure you're going to appreciate, C4.
Definitely, there's nothing wrong with games with gameplay.
Yeah, totally. There's one called Brick, which is basically, you know, your old-fashioned, you have a little paddle at the bottom and a ball, and then you just smash the bricks.
Yeah, like Arkanoid or Breakout?
Yeah, totally like Breakout, man.
See?
Except it doesn't get too challenging for quite some time. It takes a while to get up to the harder levels. But then it has Solitaire. For all you people that have a Windows box and you're probably playing Solitaire at work all the time, you can just buy an iPod.
Exactly.
Road, you know? I know so many hours of my life have been wasted because of Solitaire. Oh. Anyways, then they got this other game called Parachute. I've never seen anything like this game, and I don't really get the gist of it, but you kind of get like a cannon in the middle of the bottom of the screen, and then helicopters go across the top of the screen and drop out little men. And the objective is to shoot the men's parachutes so that they fall to their death.
Whoa.
It's so nuts that Apple would put out a game that's so violent like this. Like, I'm purposely trying to kill these guys by shooting their little parachutes and watching them splat.
That's awesome, though. It does sound like a lot of fun. At first, I thought you were going to say something that sounded like Bubble Bobble, where there's like, you know, you have the, like, little cannon in the middle and you shoot the bubble up there and it matches other colors and stuff.
But you do have the little cannon. It's consistent in that way, but these helicopters look like they're straight from Vietnam. And then here you are shooting all these, I don't know if they're whoever, maybe they're Americans, I don't know. Shooting all these guys' parachutes and hoping to get more points. And each bullet costs you 1 point, so you have to be really, like, sparing with your shots, man. You got to aim at that guy's little parachute and hope you hit it, because otherwise you're losing points bad.
That's pretty cool, though. Like, I see how that could be fun. You know, like, I totally
see
it. Definitely, where you're sitting there.
Total time killer, man.
Yeah, definitely. Now, can you get more games for this thing?
No, not yet. I'm sure that there's going to be third-party people coming out with firmware updates or anything like that, but the craziest thing is, because Apple's designed the whole iPod from scratch, their BIOS is, like, I don't know, there's probably some people that know how to hack in there and get the BIOS and then reprogram stuff, because I've seen one website where a guy was talking about how he has Linux running on his iPod.
Yeah, dude, there's somebody out there to hack everything, I swear to God. I guarantee they're working on it right now, trying to figure out how to get, you know, whoever's favorite game into their iPod, I bet.
Oh, I bet, man. And the only crappy thing is, it's, like, just pixels. You're not going to get any color on this, but it's good enough. Like, you look at some of the cell phones going out there right now, they're not really all that hot shit right now for games. Like, the potential's there, but how many service providers are providing really good games for a good price? You know,
none of them. Have you seen the N-Gage, Nokia's new phone?
No, I've seen Nokia always has, like, amazing stuff, man. They always put out really good stuff. I had a Nokia phone first, and then I went Motorola, and I swear to God, I'm never going to go Motorola again.
Wow.
The chip, Motorola chips suck. It just dies on me all the time. No games come with it. The Nokia came with three games. I was loving it. It was 4 years old, and it still had Snake and, you know, I don't know. It was a good game.
Because, yeah, I don't, the new one, the N-Gage, I don't have a Nokia phone, but that N-Gage is looking pretty nice, dude. The shots they showed of that, like, I've seen screenshots of it, and I've seen a lot of photographs of it. I mean, they show it running Tomb Raider.
What?
Uh-huh. I mean, it's a little bit squished on the, like
it's... Well, yeah, it's going to be a different resolution,
well,
but...
I guess I didn't make... I mean, it's more... The screen is more horizontal than it is vertical, it looks like.
Yeah.
Like, so it kind of lends itself to, like, maybe a racing game or something like that. But,
I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, it seems pretty cool. I personally don't like the idea of using my phone to play that series of games. You know, like, I don't want to sit down for an evening of, like, EverQuest or some shit, you know, at a bus terminal somewhere.
Yeah, right. Oh, man, could you imagine RPGs on those systems? Like... I wouldn't want to try it.
I could see me trying, though, if it was good enough. Like, if they put something I really like on there, like Lunar or something, you know, a really cool, like, old-school 2D role-playing game, I could see that going off okay on a phone like that. But I couldn't see playing, like, Street Fighter, you know, or some kind of... even Tomb Raider I don't see. I have a real hard time seeing Tomb Raider on a phone like that. I mean, come on. I got a Game Boy.
Yeah. I just got 79 on that little parachute game. Because I just figured out how you lose. You get 3 or 4 men land near your little turret or whatever, and then they just throw grenades and you blow up.
Oh, okay. You know what? I remember playing a game like this on a PC, like back when I had my, like when Wolf and I were, we both played. It was back on our 386s, and you had like this little bunker, and you were like in Iraq or something, and like, you know, there was all these Iraqi soldiers flying over you that they were parachuting down, and it was like, it sounds like the same, I can't remember what it's called, but it sounds like the same thing.
It could be, man. There's probably all these people, the programmers are just guys that, you know, did it because they loved it. Like the first iPod, I've had an iPod ever since it came out, just because I love techie, geeky stuff like that. And I use it as a hard drive backup, and I have all my songs on it. And the first version I had was a 10 gig, and they had the brick game hidden under the legal notice, an Easter egg that you could find. And then when they announced the new version of the iPod, like not this one, but the one before it, which was just a increase in the size. Steve Jobs came out, did this big speech, and then he's like, "Yeah, and you'll be glad to know that we put the game out in the open," and everyone just roared because it was this Easter egg thing that not many people knew about, but the hardcore Mac enthusiasts were like, "Yeah, it's awesome. There's a game on that."
That's
and just
cool.
Buzz, and then the third version comes out. They have 3 games now.
Nice. They got a neat little product there. Too bad they couldn't figure out some kind of way to where they would just set it up so you could download games. I'm sure somebody will, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they... There was a rumor at one point that you could have a remote control for it. Like, someone was saying that they jack into the FireWire port and you could make it do other stuff, like use it as a TV remote. That's what I heard at one point. Huh. I never saw it. And apparently Apple made the company stop making their little add-on. But another cool thing is that this is a little-known fact that if you go through the hardware tester on the iPod, the new version has a recorder. So you can actually record 6 seconds, I think it is, internally on the iPod just through your headphone. So you just take the headphone, talk for 6 seconds, and you can record a little message.
Huh, that's pretty cool.
Oh, it leads you to believe that down the road they're going to have it so that it's going to be a full-fledged recorder. They already have another slot on it, and you know, it's just all about expansion with those guys. I'm sure that they've got it in the works.
Yeah, 6 seconds isn't very long, but I don't see why they couldn't, you know, rig it up so that it records, you know, to however long that you want to talk on your I mean, it's got like a 30 gig hard drive in it. You should be able to talk forever.
But the thing is, that's hidden under the hardware tester, so not even most users know about the hardware testing or the software side of it. You know, like, you have to reboot the machine, hold down 3 other keys. It's like a whole process, and then you get into the subdirectory, and it just mentions in one of these little lines that it says, you know, record test.
Wow.
Like, oh, okay, cool. So I messed around with it, and it's 6 seconds, but, you know, down the road, they're going to make it so you can record probably MPEG 4 audio, you know, AAC encoded and all that, or you'll be able to get into MP3 or AIFF, which would be great if you're out in the field and you want to record anything or, You know, you're at lectures in class, and you just hook up a mic and start recording stuff.
Definitely. That is really cool. I didn't know. I missed the part where you said it was another hardware tester at first. I see.
Okay, oh, yeah. But think, like, it's a 30 gig hard drive. That's a lot of audio. There's people using these as playbacks for, you know, DJing and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. That is incredible. Crap. Well, oh, I know what I want to see. Here's what I want to see. I want to see somebody make an original. They can't do the color one, I'm sure, and they may be able to if they just strip the colors. I want to see that somebody make an emulator for the iPod to play Game Boy games.
Oh, my God. Well, I'd have to... I don't know if you could, man. Like, maybe you could do Tetris. Yeah, I think you could. You use the center button to rotate the piece, and then the dial to move left or right. I think you could probably put Tetris on there.
Oh, there's not that many buttons. I've never taken a good look at one, so.
A scroll. It's like this wheel in the middle, and then there's just like a button that they use for multiple things. Like it's, you know, like an action button, and then at the top of the new design ones, they have skip, back, play, pause, menu, and then skip forward.
Huh.
So there's only four buttons at the top, and they don't really use those for any of the games. For the games, they just use the little wheel, which is touch-sensitive, and then a little touch-sensitive button in the middle of the wheel.
Does it have USB?
No, but they have a USB adapter that they sell separately. Now they're selling all the iPods with a FireWire 6-pin to 4-pin adapter so that you can put it into PCs with a little 4-pin FireWire ports, and then Music Match, I think, is the PC equivalent of iTunes. That will work and see your iPod no problem. You can drag and drop playlists. I don't know if you can use it as a hard drive on the PCs or not. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but...
I bet there's some kind of way you can. I'm sure, you know, that if you looked around, somebody hacked up some software somewhere.
Yeah, and they're also talking about Apple's saying that by the end of the year they're going to be releasing iTunes for the PC. So then it will just put Music Match out of the running for being paired up with Apple, because Apple will just say, yeah, screw you, we don't need you anymore.
Good, because personally I think Music Match sucks anyway.
I've only messed around for a little bit with it, and it was all right, but yeah, it's no iTunes. If you mess around with iTunes, especially with the new store and stuff, it's totally better. iTunes is, like, so good. The visualization is awesome. You can get any GeForce visual add-ons you want, and, you know, it's just cool.
Cool. That sounds a lot better than Music Match. Music Match just seems like a mess. Like, it tries to do way too much for you, and it does it very poorly. I never had good luck with it, so I don't really use it. But we're getting close to the end here, so...
All right, miss.
Do we have, or you, because I don't have shit, like, maybe... certain sites, maybe they're really good for Mac gaming or something that you can get?
Yeah, well, there's like the developers, aspyr.com, aspyr.com. They come out with a lot of the games, like Tony Hawk 4 is coming out. They port them over, basically. Macsoft makes games. There's like, I don't know, you could just basically do a search, Google, you know, Mac games. What other sites are there? Well, you know, you got Blizzard and you have Bungie.
Yeah, thank God for Blizzard, too.
Oh, I love Blizzard, man. I swear to God, I love almost every Blizzard game. I'm not into Diablo. I just couldn't really get into it. But, I don't know. I love Blizzard games. So.
And, you know, you told me, too, that SimCity 4 is coming out also.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I totally forgot about that, man. Yeah, SimCity 4 is coming out. If you go on, like, Aspyr's website, they totally tell you what's in development, what's going to be down the road, what's in Goldmaster right now, which, if any of you don't understand, Goldmaster would be, like, the final version after, you know, alpha and beta testing. It's right before they print it out and mass produce it. They have the Goldmaster disc. So, yeah, they've got a little list of all the stuff that's coming out, and you can pre-order their stuff. So it's pretty cool.
That is neat.
They're just a little slow porting stuff over, but, you know, Unreal Tournament's coming out.
Oh, I was just going to ask about that. How is stuff like that? Like, and my two concerns were first-person shooters and massively multiplayer games. Those are my two big concerns about a Mac, because personally, I don't think that like the role playing game on role playing games on computers aren't as big as they are, it seems like, versus massively multiplayer games.
Yeah. Like, well, massively multiplayer games, I don't know if that many that are going to work that well on a Mac, but first-person shooters, like, I play Medal of Honor almost every day or two just to burn off steam, and I find that I'm kicking a lot of people's asses that have Pentium 3s or Pentium, you know, like, they're saying that they have a 3-gig system, and I'm like, okay, I have a dual 125 Mac, and they're like, oh, you're so dead, and here I... It's not even bandwidth, man. I just don't know why. I'm not that great, but they're all dead. When I start playing, man, I sniper some of these guys, and you get 36 people in a room, and I probably get, my worst ping was maybe 150.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know if it's my ISP or what, but, you know, they're pretty good up here. I've got pretty good bandwidth, but if anybody notices from the FTP, that they should be able to get 90K minimum on my system. Sometimes you can get almost 300, depending on how many other users I get going on. But because I run like a web browser off my, or web server off my computer, I also have like three other different file sharing systems, and then the FTP. And just besides the gamer side of the FTP, I've got like other folders for other people.
Yeah.
So I probably average maybe 15, 20 people all at once trying to get stuff from me. So for, you know, for just a home computer, I think I'm doing pretty good.
Definitely. I know, see, now that's another concern I have with Windows, right? I do a lot of different things. Like, I'm, you know, your average user has his machine, plays a few games, checks his email, surfs the internet, you know? I end up doing lots of stuff with video, lots of games, lots of weird, freaky, crazy, weird shit with him, right?
Yeah.
I found that there's no way that I could have one machine run it all. So a couple of years ago, I remember, you know, when I first heard about Linux, it was when it was, you know, like starting to get really big and stuff. I ended up giving it a shot, and it was quite a struggle to learn how to use it first. And now I'm sold. That's all I've been using. I have a second machine here, my server too. And I did have it. I just got rid of it, and it ran Slackware. And I tell you what, I would not even try to run Windows on a machine that was doing as much as that machine was doing for me. You know, and, you know, if your Mac is doing all that, listen to the list of games that we were just talking about earlier. You know, not even a tenth of those, I swear to God, are available for Linux. You can't find shit for Linux out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks, man. But I think what's just helping propel the Mac is that it is the most, like, lovely, beautiful-looking interface when it comes to, you know, your Linux or Unix core, because you just, the GUI is awesome. If I could show people screenshots of things minimizing, and everything, every icon has a real-time drop shadow and stuff like that, like, that's stuff that XP is still trying to pull off, but it's such a system hog.
Yeah, you're right. It is, too.
Not on my system at all, man. Like, I have opacities on anything and everything. I could be playing 4 QuickTime movies at the same time, all with the audio, and put them in my little dock, which, you know, you PC people may not understand, but the dock is like, you could have any program you want, any folder in there, and it's instantly one-click accessible. Same sort of thing on Windows, except that I can actually play in real time 4 QuickTime movies, no problem, and they can be any other compression, and they'll play perfectly in the little dock. You can see the little animation going.
Yeah, like, because I use Window Maker as my window manager for my Linux machines.
Yes.
Is the same idea? You're talking about the little thing where they just, like, sits on the side there?
Yeah, basically, there's an emulator that they've tried to rip off the whole Mac look of it and all that sort of stuff, so it's there. Oh, you don't have the blue screen of death. I forget to say that. There's never been a blue screen of death. The worst I've ever had on a Mac is I had the Unix kernel die, and it wasn't like, I don't think it was the Mac itself, I think it was the kernel, which was way back in the day when they were first porting it over, and it was a beta, I wasn't even supposed to have it on my system, but it basically just freaked out, and all the text came up, and I don't know enough of that programming stuff, but it freaked me out at first, but after that, you know.
Yeah,
I haven't had any major problems. You can force quit anything, reboot it. You don't have to reboot the whole system. You can just restart any program.
Yeah, the machines are a lot more stable based on that kernel, you know, and not using, like, Microsoft, you know, based on a Unix kernel or BSD, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just, it just runs, man. And something does die and you have to reboot something, you know, it doesn't take forever. It's a misconception that Mac takes, like, 4 hours to reboot.
Shit, my Windows machine takes forever to reboot. That's why I'm afraid to turn it off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another thing, too, man. Like, I know a lot of people that are like, you always turn off your Mac. You always have to turn off your Mac. I'm like, no. They actually designed the new operating system. You leave it up 24/7 because it's like it's a Unix server core sort of, and it does house cleaning for you in the evenings or the downtime. It just starts cleaning up files and directories and repartition, like removing it on the partition and stuff for you, and trying to optimize the disk.
That is awesome.
Just runs smoother, and the more you shut it down, just, you know, just wear and tear on the actual power button. That's the only thing. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, I sure learned a lot today about Macs. Seriously.
That's good, man. I like spreading the word. I know that I'm not going to sell anyone on a Mac because that's not really my job. I know what I like and it works for me, man. So maybe it would work for someone else out there. Maybe it won't, but I want to spread the word of games and GameCubes, games and stuff like that because, you know.
Yeah, and I guarantee a lot of people out there did not know a lot about this stuff. I certainly didn't, and I spend a lot of time reading about games and computer hardware. That's like my entire life between those two things, and I tell you right now, I didn't know most of this about Mac stuff. I don't see it, you know, and it's like I'm pretty tuned into what's going on out there, you know, as far as the PC world goes.
Yeah, so, well, talk to Wintermute.
Yeah?
Listen to some of the other stations on Rant Radio and stuff. Wintermute just got an iBook a while ago, and he swears by it. And it's just awesome. Like, you know, I can't rave about it enough. I'm sure he's really into the whole iBook, just loving the whole airport portability.
Yeah, but I'd love to hear him talk about it, too. I don't think I remember hearing him say anything about it on Radio Freak America.
You mentioned it once, man, but that was, like, a while ago, so I don't know.
That was, yeah. In fact, I think that's all I remember. I just heard about it, and I was really looking forward. I thought maybe, oh, cool, we'll get to, you know, hear him talk about it, and, you know, but, of course, he was busy.
Yeah, I should definitely get him to mention it again sometime, man. Like, or maybe we should try to get him on the talk about it.
Oh, but you got cut out there, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's, I got another call that's someone else calling me, but I'm just ignoring them.
We
should definitely try to get Wintermute or someone else who was on the dark side and switched over to the Mac.
Definitely. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, you can learn a lot from this stuff. You know, I mean, just hearing about it, I'm pretty blown away. It's like I keep thinking how neat it would be to have an iPod now.
Oh, God. Man, once you get an iPod in your hand, it's just weighted so well and small, and it's awesome feeling.
Nice. Well, is there anything else you wanted to mention? Maybe movies or something you saw this week? I actually did have one movie I really wanted to talk about.
I haven't seen a movie, man, in 3-4 weeks. The last movie I saw was Confidence.
Never heard of it.
Okay, well, it was kind of like a, you know, caper sort of who's going to screw over who sort of movie, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a huge movie buff, even though I'm kind of in the industry and stuff. I just don't get out enough. But I want to see Matrix, man, and I want to see, like, all the other techie, high-end graphic-looking stuff.
Well, you'll probably enjoy The Matrix Reloaded a lot more than I did, I'll tell you right now, but
well, if it's got a bad story, I'm going to rip it apart, man.
It's not that bad. I mean, I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll like it. Cause, I mean, even I liked it. I just didn't... My problem was I saw X-Men 2 first, and I swore to God that's the movie of the year. So, fuck Matrix.
Okay, but did you like Spider-Man?
I loved it.
I didn't like Spider-Man, and the software that they were using to do Spider-Man's effects just blew, and I don't think... I know you were talking about Hulk and all that last time, but I don't think Hulk's going to be all that great, man.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes for it, but I hope it does good. But I don't think, I mean, like, I can't say that I know it's going to, you know?
I think CG characters just aren't really there except for Gollum, man.
Yeah, yeah, he looked really good.
He leaps and bounds over the industry, and I don't think anyone's going to be able to touch that kind of look for a long time, like, you know, Yoda. Why make Yoda CG? Oh,
Yeah, they, you know, I mean, you have to keep up with it, though. I mean, if we got a movie today that looked like the old original Star Wars looked then.
Oh, but I love the original Star Wars. It still holds up, in my opinion, man. When you see a model flying across the screen, it just, I don't know. There's CG work that does, that is good for spaceships and planets and things like that, but I just don't think the motion's great for characters.
Yeah, it does have a long way to go, that's for sure. I see some of the tools they use in Linux Journal, I think, or Linux Magazine, one of the two. I have subscriptions to both, and one of the two did have a thing on Star Wars about how they made the characters, and it was like, it sounded really cool and high-tech, and, you know, there's a lot of work to it, but, I mean, I thought it came out okay, but, I mean, you probably have more of an eye for this kind of thing, seeing as how that's, you know, what you're involved in, so.
Yeah, there's been some shows that have been done where I'm from that use a lot of effects and stuff, and it just doesn't hold up because people aren't using the best tools for the thing, you know, and I think that's what the biggest problem was with Spider-Man is that they didn't use the best software. Like, they were using Softimage, and I think there was other software that could have done a better job for Spider-Man. Flying through the buildings just kind of looked cheesy to me. So that's just my opinion. You know, over time, I'm sure, you know, people will forget about what, you know, was said or what I thought about that. But, you know, hey, it's one man's opinion.
Exactly. You know, it's like, you know, whatever. This is just what I thought about it, you know. I personally loved Spider-Man. I thought it was fantastic. And you know what's weird is, that was Sam Raimi, right? And he's the guy who did Army of Darkness.
Oh,
like,
I loved Army of Darkness.
Yeah, see, that's like one of my favorite movies of all time right there.
I think what the problem was is that it just, Spider-Man got too mushy. Like that whole, you know, I love you, oh, now you love me, sorry, I'm not interested because I'm Spider-Man, and then walk away, like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not, just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I own it. I got to say, I think one of the best movies I've got. I hope Hulk comes out okay. I really want it to come out.
They should have got Lou Ferrigno. I'm telling you, man, Lou Ferrigno is still the Hulk.
Yeah, right. You know what? That was one of my concerns. Hulk. I thought they had, like, people doing, you know, at first, and I went, oh, my God, that's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
But the one thing I did watch this week, I haven't got a chance to go to the theater and see anything new or anything, but there wasn't much out that I really wanted to watch after X-Men and the Matrix. So I found myself yesterday, in fact, when I was down at Best Buy and you called, and I was picking up the alarm, I ran across an anime I hadn't seen before. It's called Rune Soldier. And see, I figured, say, screw it, throw the puppets out the window, throw the CG out the window, I want animation. I like this a lot more anyway. And this one, it's the first disc. I guess there's like three of them because they didn't have any more there at Best Buy. I did see them at Amazon.com. I saw them at their website today, and it's all I can do to not order it because this one's only four episodes. It's the first four. It's called Rune Soldier, and it's awesome. And I'm really into the fantasy stuff, you know, like Hooks would say, like a pixie loving, you know, elf boy, right?
Yeah, one of my favorite animes is Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, see, I own all those DVDs, too, for that. I love that.
I love that series. That's awesome. I have, like, all the VCDs that someone scored for me. But, yeah, I know what you're saying, though, man. Anime, it can get really cheesy, you know, and you get your whole Sailor Moon and Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. Even Dragon Ball Z I have a problem with.
Oh, God, yeah, I could never get into that,
no,
man. It's just,
it's crap.
Yeah, the story may be there, but the way they get there with the actual animation doesn't really sell it for me, you know. But it's an art form. Those guys, like...
Some of this stuff is incredible, which is one of my big things about Rune Soldier, is the art blew me away. A lot of the times I watch this stuff, and I say, well, the story is fantastic. I can forgive the art for not being, like, top-notch, like something like... Cowboy Bebop or
what's the Animatrix? Have you seen any of those?
Actually, I have it. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of the Animatrix stuff?
I haven't watched it all. I watched half of it, like the first half, and I was really into it.
Yeah, some of their directors are awesome, awesome anime directors, and I don't know enough of their names to just be dropping them.
Yeah, me neither.
And I wouldn't even try to pronounce them, but yeah, the styles, man, it's all about style nowadays.
Definitely. I mean, you've got to put some effort into it. I see so much crap that looks like garbage, but one of the things. But what I was saying about this is that I like, you know, the fantasy stuff more than I like the sci-fi stuff. As much as I like something like Cowboy Bebop and Ghost in the Shell and all that stuff, you know, I have all that too, I still like the more fantasy stuff, like Ninja Scroll and my favorite one, Record of Lodoss War.
See, I don't get enough into the anime, but I'm sure it's all about story, really, ultimately. So if it's got a good story, I'm sure anyone out there would love to see some of this stuff.
Yeah, oh, definitely. But my big thing is I'd rather have, like, swords and sorcery rather than, you know, guns and starships. You know, that's one of the big things. And that's why it's hard for me to find good, like, fantasy-style anime. And I was really excited to find this one. And I watched it last night, and I'll tell you what, like, if you're a fan of, like fantasy-style anime, this is something cool to check out. It's not too, like, tongue-in-cheek humorish. You know how a lot of them get really stupid sometimes, like they have like way too much like humor in it, just trying to be funny.
Yeah.
There's not too much of that. They stay pretty serious, you know, for you know, the majority of it. They have their moments where they're screwing off quite a bit actually, but not enough to deter you from watching it. And it's like the story of these three chicks. One's a warrior, one's a priestess, and one's like a thief. And they meet this dude who is a magician, and he's a total klutz. Like, he's just like a fuck off, right? The guy's like totally screwed up in the head, and like just the way they, you know, weave the story, they cannot get away from each other. And the end of the first disc, after the fourth episode, ends with them just finishing up like this big trek into like the Phantom Forest and stuff, you know, like all this, you know, like the spooky haunted forest with all these demons and stuff. And I was so into it. I finished the last episode just before we started recording here, as a matter of fact. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I've got to get the other discs. This fantasy stuff, it just seems like it's hard for me to come by, and everything I pick up is sci-fi.
Yeah, there's a lot more sci-fi out there. There really is. I think I chalk it up to just people that are just subjected to, you know, Star Wars, Star Trek, and it's just berated over them that they just get into that stuff. And that's probably why I never got into fantasy, because I never started off doing D&D. Like, I never got into that stuff.
You're missing out.
and you know what? I probably am, but, like, I was in a different clique. The clique I was into, man, we were just not into D&D and rolling dice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's
but
not
I like a role-playing game now and then. I just don't get into them like everyone else does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have sci-fi. Like, look at Xenosaga, total sci-fi role-playing game, you know, on the PlayStation 2. And it's like, while I loved it, I loved something like even the story, like just the feel, you know, because it's medieval, like of Suikoden, something like that, better, you know, Dragon Quarter. Well, actually, I haven't played that, but it sounds medieval. You know, I just like that stuff more. So, I mean, I'm trying to find more of this fantasy type stuff, so at least maybe somebody else out there who has the same problem I have can at least know what to go look for.
Sure there's a web ring, man, where they're just like rampant all about that, because
I bet you're right.
So huge demand for that, I know it. It's just we're not privy to that stuff.
Yeah, I think you're right. I should go look into that some more, but I'm afraid to go look into anything. Now that I'm leaving, I might, you know, start downloading and buying crap that I don't need to afford and don't need to store, so.
Yeah, you don't need to accumulate more stuff and then try to get rid of it in the next few days.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm like, that's why I didn't even want to buy this, but I had to. Like, I'm looking at it in the store, just going, I gotta see this. It looks so good. And I was really surprised by it. But I think that's all I've got for this week. Anything else?
Oh, man, I think this was a pretty good show. We covered a lot of stuff.
I think so, too.
I think I covered everything I'd like to talk about. And I'm sure I beat over the whole I love Macintosh stuff. I should get a tattoo now. I don't know.
I'm sure I'm going to get an email or two about this. God damn, shut him up.
Damn Macintosh users.
Listen to them rabid fanboys.
Yeah, damn them.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think it was very informative, too, and I really hope everybody gets a lot out of this.
I think they will, and if they don't, man, they're just not open-minded enough to get out there. I've touched a PC. I may not like it as much as my Mac, but, you know, at least I've messed around with it enough to know some of the guts.
Yeah, definitely. You gotta be open-minded.